Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Now Spinning. I'm your host, Simon Medina, and with me today I have...
Leo Ackerman.
With Tyler Reck.
And Jacob Zakvik.
Before we get started, I want to say a very special welcome back to Leo. It's been a minute since we've had you on the show.
Oh, it's been quite a minute. I've been on plenty of journey. Glad to be back.
We're very happy to have you.
Yeah.
We have quite a delightful topic for you all today. We're going to be talking about another episode of Recent Discoveries. This is stuff that maybe hasn't come out recently, but it's something that we've recently discovered, if you will. So, why don't you get us started?
Yes, of course. So it has been a minute since I've been on the podcast. It's been quite a hot minute. And in that time, I have completely fallen in love with samba music and everything to come out of like 60s Rio de Janeiro, specifically the work of Jorge Benjor, who is a brilliant composer, singer, every manner of thing you could be as a musician. I mean, he's just brilliant. Specifically the record Forza Bruta, which is just this lush, sweeping, like, it's very hard to describe the way his music sounds, because it is very like smooth and pretty, like a lot of like bossa nova is, you know, a lot of 60s Brazilian stuff. It tends to be just like very gorgeous and very nice. Mm-hmm. But Jorge Benjor, he's just like, the way he writes and arranges is so unique to him, and the way he sings just gets so weird that he doesn't sound like anyone else. Like, if I recall correctly, he said his inspiration as a vocalist came from jazz musicians and, like, horn players. And you can tell, like, he'll flip his voice. It'll sound like, you know, he's changing octave on a trumpet. It's just such, like, a distinct shift. That's just for Forza Bruta. And then we have... Africa Brazil, which is like a funk album from him. I think Jorge Benjor got his first wind in the U.S. If it wasn't from writing Mas Que Nada for Sergio Mendes, it was because I think David Byrne like heard the first track on Africa Brazil playing in a record store when he was in South America.
I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of hear, I mean, that album, it's like a very wonderful album. It's very heavily inspired by, like, you know, funk rock, that kind of stuff. But like, I listened to that, and like one of my first thoughts was like, this kind of does remind me of Talking Heads almost.
Oh yeah, it's so, especially in like his vocalizations.
Yeah,
like, I don't know, I feel like if someone who is a bit chiller were to hop on it, it would be a pleasant time. But he's so eccentric on the mic, and like the topics he covers are just so out there. I mean, he has this record called A Tabua de Esmeralda, and the entire record is, okay, so what if I got really into alchemy, and I got really into, like, how alchemy related to Christianity? Then on the next record, Forza Bruta, it's all about, you know, these, like, subtle jabs at the Brazilian dictatorship and love and loss and all that stuff. Then on Africa Brazil, it's, I love soccer so much.
Like, how Brazilian.
It's so fun. Everything he does is a delight. I can't really describe the sound. It's dance music at its core. The best way to listen to it is to feel it and to just throw it on and enjoy your time with it, and to also look close into his guitar playing. Because I feel honestly like he's kind of like a George Harrison in a way, not in terms of like the way he sounds or anything like that, but because his guitar parts suit the song so well that you don't even think twice about like how hard they might be to play or like how odd they might sound in the context of another track. He just fits everything so perfectly, and I could gush about him forever and ever. But I want to keep it brief, want to keep things very mindful. So Jorge Benjor, love you to death. Thank you so much. I've been listening to like just his music for the past like 6 months. Yeah.
Let's get him on the show.
Check it out. Yeah.
Please. Yeah, he's still kicking.
Yeah. Okay. I guess it's my turn now. Well, I discovered this band that's called Cactus. I saw the record One Way or Another in the Dollar Bin at FBC, and I thought, hey, that cover looks cool. I'm going to buy that.
Many. Those are some of the best finds, though, absolutely. Is and, the cool cover dollar bins.
And it's like, in my mind, I thought it would, because there was like a bit of psychedelic rock stuff in there. So I thought it was just another psychedelic rock thing. But no, it's like this hard rock, kind of like bluesy, boogie-ish stuff. Okay. There's a song, Big Mama Boogie, Parts 1 and 2 is a song on there. And there's a cover of Long Tall Sally that's like, it's crazy, like loud, At least I think it's loud, in terms of what loud is. But looking at like backstory and stuff of the band, it's a super group, which I didn't really think it was a super group. It consists of people from Vanilla Fudge and Mitch Ryder's Detroit Wheels and the Amboy Dukes. But
I believe you.
I don't know that.
I'll
I'm
take
familiar,
your word for it. I haven't heard any of them.
Yeah. But apparently the original plan was to have Tim Bogert and Carmen Epice, who are two members of the band, obviously join Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart. But Jeff Beck couldn't because he had a motorcycle accident. Ooh. And then Rod Stewart joined the revamped Small Faces, the band The Faces. And
That Sly Dog.
His
Rod Stewart.
His career is so bizarre.
I love Rod. Sorry, I don't mean to sidetrack. I love Rod Stewart. He's so funny. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thinking about him.
Yeah. I think I have a 45 of Rod Stewart's, I believe. I think maybe. I don't know.
You've got a lot.
Maybe.
Lot than anybody else does.
Yeah. At least in terms of 45s. My dad has more records than I do.
You've got a very impressive 45 collection, though. I gotta say that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got
a lot of gems.
Yeah. I've got a shoebox full of 45s that I've labeled 60s hippie 45s because they're all like Summer of Love, psychedelic sort of stuff. But anyway, Cactus, go check them out. I'll probably bring them in, and then once I plan on going to Arizona to visit my mom, then I'll probably bring it out there because I think it's kind of suited to have an album by Cactus in a place where
there's a ton of cactus. You could literally run into a cactus.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's all about I have to speak of them, if you wanted to go, Jacob.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So I been listening to a lot of 88.9, the Impact, our friends over at MSU.
Yes, of course.
Leo, I got to say, you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
Sure, lots of repeats, but I'm constantly hearing new music on there, and it's so great. And I'm disappointed because my house is at the very limit of the range.
But
I could basically the entire car ride home, I got it. And then just past that, it crosses over into a classical station, Blue Lake Radio. So
that's delightful.
Great. Yeah. the crossover is brilliant. So I heard on the station recently a song by Jessica Pratt.
Yes, of course.
And it sounds like you guys were, for the most part, familiar. I had never heard.
Well, what song was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was, so the first one off the most recent album, Life Is. And I just heard this, and I was like, oh, gorgeous. Just beautiful. And so chill and relaxing. And I'm constantly bringing stuff in here and talking about stuff that's very high energy, but I love super chill music. I listen to music every night before bed. I fall asleep to music. I have speakers set up under my bed so that it like reverberates through the bed so I can listen to the music in like the most chill way possible. And this is an immediate, so the album, what is the album called? Here in the Pitch.
Yes.
Came out in 2024. Again, I missed it. I didn't know about this. Apparently she's been around for like 12 or so years. But yeah, I thought that like, oh, this is instantly going to be a before bed album. And like, some people think of like, oh, sleepy, boring. No, that's outrageous. Boring music is terrible to listen to before bed because that's when you let your mind wander.
Yeah.
You need good music that is chill and relaxing. And this is beautiful. So I was looking online. She's compared to a lot of different people. But weirdly, the person that I was thinking of, I didn't see mentioned anywhere. I was listening to it, and I thought, boy, she kind of sounds like Blossom Dearie, which I know is like a bit of a deep cut. Most people don't know Blossom Dearie. But yeah, I like Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez were both big ones. Leo, you were saying you knew a lot about this.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. To keep things brief, Jessica Pratt has, like, ever since I was 15, I've been like, Jessica Pratt is like one of the best living songwriters. Like, she is the moment. Like, her self-titled record from, like, what, 2015 or so? That was like one of my favorite things ever in high school. And the I think it was a 5-year gap between Here in the Pitch and her previous record. I think it's like On Your Own Love Again or something. Maybe that's her second one. I'm misremembering. But there was a huge gap between records, and I was like, oh no, is she going to be one of those artists that just like releases a few albums and then like kind of disappears in the sunset? And it's like, you know, one of those cases where brilliant artist drops a few releases and then just like goes and works at like an accounting firm or something. Thankfully not. Here in the Pitch, it was, I mean, it's everything I wanted and more after years and years of waiting. It's just so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And her voice sounds like no one else.
Go listen to Blossom Dearie.
I need to listen to Blossom Dearie. I'm telling you. It's like her and Blossom Dearie. I can't think of like anyone else with that timbre of voice.
It's, yeah, it's that like girlish, but like very, very like high-pitched woman, but like very smooth. You know what I mean? It's a, yeah, a mature sounding girlish voice, if that makes any sense. I don't know.
It sounds manipulated by tape almost, but that's just how she sounds.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like you kind of like sped her up a little bit and like kind of like a very speed thing, but she just sounds like that all the time. I love her to death.
No, you can gush about it, man. That's great. And great for it being on the Impact, because I'm very glad to have found it. It's a really good one.
I'll have to check her out. I've definitely heard of her before, probably from people talking about her.
I think I've brought her into the club.
Really?
Have you?
Yeah, I think I have.
That's probably where I heard it then, if you brought her into the club, because I know, you know, most of the stuff I get from the club and stuff, but you know, I've got some stuff that I play before bed and stuff, and I wouldn't mind having a little more.
No, nice.
Very nice.
It's a very brief 27-minute record, so if you just want to throw it on and then listen to something, it's perfect for that. It's your turn.
Oh no, here we go.
It's your turn.
Simon's turn.
So apologies in advance, I'm probably gonna pronounce some of these words wrong, but I have been obsessed with this album that I just heard this last week, and I haven't stopped listening to it since it came out. And it's an album called El Hombre y las Ganas de Comer, which is a Midwest emo album from Chile.
Ooh.
Which I didn't know they had that there. It's really kind of, I don't know if it's exciting or like a little disturbing that the specific brand of despair that makes Midwest emo is global now. But
listen, man, unfortunately, despair exists around the world.
At least
dude.
We get bangers out of it, because this is a...
Being a moody teenager exists around the world. That is a part of the human condition.
But the Midwestern experience, I didn't realize that was getting globalized. Yeah, now that's kind of scary.
Oh, man. Like, just anybody can sit in their garage looking out onto the driveway and play an acoustic guitar with their friends.
Very true.
Like, that's part of the Midwest emo experience. You know what I mean? And anybody could also sit in their bedroom by themselves and write a despair song.
Very true.
You know
very
what
true.
I mean?
But this album, it's really fantastic. It's more on like the punk end of like the Midwest emo spectrum. I know it goes from being like more like quiet, like thoughtful stuff to just being like all out angry
punk
music.
It has some
pop punk. Definitely that going
for sure.
On.
Yeah.
The album is actually two bands, not just one. One band's called La Estrategia de Caracol, which means Strategy of the Snail, which is a kind of awesome band name. And then the Camara Chilena De La Destrucción, which means the Chilean Chamber of Destruction, which is also kind of awesome.
Yeah,
I like those are cool names.
That is kind of awesome. And these two bands, I think they complement each other perfectly. Strategy of the Snail, they're a lot more like musically like aggressive as far as like the vocals go, because they're screaming a lot, while the other band, it's less, they're both like intense musically, but like the other band's a lot more restrained vocally, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, though, the energy throughout it is just incredible, especially like with all great Midwest emo albums, the bits where it slows down into like the atmospheric, you know, guitar playing, it contrasts so well with the aggressive punk stuff before it. But it's just a really great listening experience. I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. This band, though, it's part of like a larger scene of Chilean indie music that's been coming out recently. There's a lot of other bands that are coming out, like the big ones like Candelabro and Asia Menor and Niños del Cerro. Those are three big ones I've heard of, but they're, it's a really interesting scene. I highly advise looking into it if you're a fan of like indie music in general. They're just going all over the place with it.
Oh, absolutely.
And doing new things, but in sort of the classic style.
Oh, that's definitely.
I listened to this one. You sent it to us, and I listened to this one, and I was like, boy, it really, they nailed it. It is the exact sound, but, you know, as I kept listening to it, I was like, no, there are unique elements to this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It isn't just, you know, somebody making the same thing that I heard 10 years ago.
Exactly.
And it is very impressive that, you know, these bands that manage to continue to iterate on similar ideas, but still like experiment with it. And and I think that's part of what makes it so fun, you know?
Oh, very true.
South American, like, honestly, Latin American indie music lately has just been incredible.
Yeah, very good.
Like, I've been stuff coming out of Brazil, I mean, consistently great. Brazil has always had good music come out of it. But Argentina, Chile,
I've been listening
Guatemala.
To a Colombian punk band recently. They're pretty good. A Mexican shoegaze band.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, man. And it's just like, oh, baby. You know, just because you don't expect it to be, you know, anything different. You know what I mean? There's so much of shoegaze and punk, obviously, that has seemed, well, like tread over. Like, oh, we've heard all this before. But like I said, they continue to iterate on it in new, like, experimental ways that are just so exciting.
Exactly.
You know if I mean? You like shoegaze and you're into mixing that with Latin American music, I think you would really like Antropoceno, which is this Brazilian, like, samba shoegaze act.
Ooh.
That is very environmentalist. It's all about, you know, like, it's all about global warming and like how that's affecting South America.
Oh, man.
And mixing like the heavy samba grooves with the nasty, like spacious guitar. I think you'd really like that.
Did they play at the last COP?
I'm not sure if they did.
No, I don't
I'm not sure
know. Just wow. To be clear, COP is a environmentalist conference, not a music conference.
One last thing before we move on, I want to also mention that this band was featured on a compilation that's called Latin American Football that features songs by a band, like all sorts
that's
of different
so good.
Midwest emo
that's
bands
so
from across like, all of Latin America. I have to check that out next, but I had to mention that album title. That's the greatest title I've heard in my life, possibly.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
But yeah, moving on along, Leo, what else do you
I think
have
we got
us?
Time for some more quickfire
yeah,
ones.
Some time. Yeah.
Oh, lordy. Oh, real wow. Fun. I got to think of some other recent discoveries. You know what? We'll get a bit basic with it. So lately, I've been reckoning with something, and that is my lack of knowledge of 2000s R&B and pop music.
What?
Okay.
What, really? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Like T.I. and
no, I'm talking
all-star?
I'm talking Nelly Furtado. I'm talking
oh,
early
geez.
Beyonce. I'm talking Kelis. I'm talking Brandy, especially. And I want to talk about the last discovery that I've had recently. This is from an artist who isn't necessarily from the 2000s, but managed to stay relevant into it. Janet Jackson's All For You.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Her album, All For You, is such a delight. It's and I can't think of many other words to describe it with. It's a delight. Janet Jackson, throughout her discography, has always been very, she's very socially conscious, but she's also just so fun. Like, you can always throw her on and have a good time. And All For You is kind of the victory lap that came out after The Velvet Rope in the late 90s. Whereas The Velvet Rope came out, you know, when she was going through, like, a breakdown and she was having a lot of emotional turmoil. All For You is her going, I'm Janet Jackson and everyone loves me and I'm going to make a ton of good songs. And then she did. And it's just great. A few highlights are the song Come On Get Up, which is very house influenced.
Ooh.
Very bouncy, very sweet. Her vocals mature on All For You quite a bit. I think once she got into her 30s, her voice just settled very nicely. It's so smooth. And the 2000s production has aged really gracefully, honestly. I think once we get later into the aughts, a lot of R&B and pop starts becoming more grimy and dubsteppy, and that has not really stood the test of time as much. To me, at least. But a lot of these smooth, like, I don't think there are any like Timbaland beats on the record, but like, you know, the camp of like Timbaland and like the Neptunes. Yeah. And I think his name is Darkchild, who worked on Full Moon by Brandy and Invincible by Michael Jackson, which is not a good album. but anyway, Come On, Get Up is a great track. And the other highlight is Someone to Call My Lover, which is, I think it interpolates Gymnal Pity number one from Eric Satie in the chorus. I love it to death. It's breezy. It's sweet. It's the perfect summer record.
That's another one of my favorite before bed songs.
Well, you might enjoy Someone to Call My Lover.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I really dig all that. I mean, as a kid, like, I remember distinctly hearing like rap and like R&B sort of stuff on the radio or on CDs that my dad and mom would burn.
It was when it like properly entered the mainstream in a way that like, it was super normal to listen to everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you'd hear it at the mall.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I have a 2000s childhood playlist that's got, like, a ton of, like, R&B and, you know, like, stuff that you would have heard if you were a child in, like, the 2000s or something like that. Or maybe, like, you know, early Gen Z, I should say. You know, when we were kind of, like, little babies and children and stuff like that. Leo, I am glad you're getting into early 2000s R&B. I am.
Brandy's incredible. She's been great lately.
Yeah, I guess that means it's my turn.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
Could be.
I discovered this French band called the Dynamite Shakers. They're like kind of like punky, like post-punk, I guess. Kind of garage rock. It's pretty cool, I think. Like, I can't really describe it too good because they're speaking French. The only French music I really know of is, like, Francois Hardy and, like, you know, Doug Kershaw's Cajun French music. But I guess their newest EP, EP Cinema, I mean, Cinema's good. 6H10 is pretty standout, too. Other than that, I would just say go give them a listen.
All right.
Yeah.
I will check it out.
What they called again?
The Dynamite Shakers.
Excellent. It's your turn, Jacob. It's your turn.
I've also got a bit of a punk band. So the Good Flying Birds released an album last year. I had never heard of them. I missed it when it was released. I don't even know when it was released. I just know it came out last year. Tallulah's Tapes. And this is another one that it gets played on 88.9 all the time. And I was like, this is some good stuff. It is like, it's very punk in its like feel, but I wouldn't necessarily say like in its sound. It's maybe more of like a jangle punk or like a jangly pop sort of thing. This is not a very great comparison, but it reminds me in some ways of the sounds of the Bug Club, which is another band I just adore right now. A lot of the songs I heard on the radio, you kind of got this vibe of like, they're kind of goofing a little bit, but they're making really good music. When you listen to the whole album, like every song has a goofy thing in between it. And you're like, oh no, this is a having fun punk album, a bit of a stick it to the man punk album. I believe in their Spotify description, they dunk on Spotify a little bit, which is, I'm like, awesome. Yeah. But maybe just take your music off of it entirely. For a new band, you can't risk it, man. You got to have the exposure.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been listening to this a lot. I noticed that in my like Shazam playlist of all the songs where it sounds like, there's like three or four songs by this one band in here. Like, I got to go listen to this. And instantly I was like, oh, yeah, I should have been listening to this the whole time. It was a great one.
Very cool. I do think that does wrap it up for today, though. Check out our website. That will have all of our past playlists, past podcast episodes, information about future meeting dates. So you can check that out and see how you can attend. Bring your music, whether you literally have no vinyl at all or you're a big vinyl head, come on in. We appreciate everybody who's willing to hear music they wouldn't normally listen to. That's our only rule, is you have to be willing to hear stuff you wouldn't normally listen to. But yeah, come check it out. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.